revival church here tonight. I believe I'm in the midst of a church that's ready for revival. To your neighbor and tell them, yes, I want it. Yes, I want the fire. Come on, tell somebody, yes, I want it. Yes, I want it. Come on, you're not talking to somebody. Talk to somebody. I want the fire. Yes, I want it. Yes, I want it. Yes, I want the fire. Yeah. Praise God. Well, we've already had 27 different kinds of church here. This evening, I'm so glad for the God factor. I'm so glad that God is factored into what we're doing and what's happening in our lives. I wouldn't want to live in this world. With Israel, we can say, if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side. And everybody knows what Israel, everybody that knows what Israel meant by that said amen. If it hadn't been for the Lord on our side. Praise God. This evening we're going to work a little more in Psalms 138 as we make our way through the scripture. Again, it's so good to have our guests, our visitors in the house tonight. We're glad you're here. We want you, when you come, to make yourself at home here. And you have to understand, we're glad you're here. And what we do is not in any way related to the fact that you're here. If you're comfortable with it, we're glad. If you're uncomfortable with it, aw. But we already been to dead, dull, dry church. And it's way too late in the dispensation to have dead, dull, dry, boring, powerless church. Praise God. It's not by might, nor is it by power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. Psalms 138, this morning we dealt with the second verse. He has magnified his word above his name. Are you glad you know the name of Jesus tonight? But we're going to work with the first verse tonight. Would you say, I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. Praise God. Say it again. I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. And tell your neighbor before you're seated, that's little g. Those are little gods. God bless you as you're seated. If you're glad for his word, clap your hands, lift your voice, magnify the name of the Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your word that is forever settled in the heavens. We praise you. We magnify you. We lift you up. We worship you. Praise God. Praise God. Now, I'm going to need some help tonight, and you're going to have to be quick. Praise God. Who's manning that tonight? Is that Jermaine? All right. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 3 and 4. Before the gods, I will praise thee. You have to understand something and know something, that there is only one true and living God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. All of the gods of the nations are dumb idols. But I will tell you this, that there are spirits in this world, and they are pernicious. And they are predatory. And they are the gods of this world. You're doing good, but you got dyslexia. Did I tell you chapter 4 or did I tell you chapter 3? 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 and 4. Praise God. Praise God. Everyone say, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. You say, well, I don't agree with what y'all believe. Well, let me tell you what the gospel is. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul said, now I'm going to declare unto you the gospel. He said that you received from us and you believed it and you stand in it. He said, but you could believe it in vain. He said, I first showed you that Jesus died, then he was buried, and then he was resurrected. And so the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. Well, praise God. But just the knowledge of that and the belief of that is not salvation. If that were true, the devil would be saved, because the devil believes that Jesus died, he was there, and he knows that he was buried, and he thought they were just going to go down and have a party because Jesus was down for good. But he'll tell you tonight that he raised himself up from the dead on the third day. James, in his dissertation on faith and works, in James chapter 2, says the devil believes that there's one God and he trembles. But his rhetorical proposition there is, if belief alone was salvation, the devil would be saved. But belief never saved anybody. It's only the first step in coming into salvation. Somebody say praise the Lord. But the gospel, according to Simon Peter, the men in the street in Acts chapter 2 said, men and brethren, what shall we do? What must we do? They had crucified the Christ. Peter said, first thing you got to do is repent. That's the death of Christ. Then he said, you got to be buried in the water in Jesus' name for the remission of your sins. That's the burial of Christ. Paul would teach in Romans chapter 6, we are buried together with him in baptism. And then he said, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Peter, Simon Peter, who has the keys to the kingdom, who has the power to bind on earth and loose on earth, said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Nobody in the Bible prayed a sinner's prayer and was saved. Nobody accepted Jesus into their heart as their personal Savior. They all, Acts 2, Acts 8, Acts 10, Acts chapter 19, they all repented. They all believed. They all were buried in the water in Jesus' name, and they all received the Holy Ghost, and when they did, they talked in tongues. I don't care what the Council of Nicaea said 300 years later. That's 300 years too late. They're out of touch. I don't care what the Protestant Reformation said 1,500, 1,200 years later. It doesn't matter to me. I'm not impressed with what the ecclesiastical community today has to say about salvation. I want to go back to the old book. The problem is they've gotten away from the old book. They don't believe that it says what it means and means what it says anymore. But anybody in the house here, do you believe in the Word of God? Are you glad to be standing on the Word of God? If the gospel's hidden from you, you're lost. And it's a function of several different moving parts. But in verse 4, in whom the God of this world, everybody say the God of this world. Tell your neighbor, that's the devil. And God's in its little g. He wants to be the big G, but he can't because there's already one and he can't get in. So he's stuck being a little g, but he's a reprobate. He believes that he'll overthrow God, and he believes that he'll overthrow you, but he's wrong. He'll never overthrow God. Now, as to you, that's going to be up to you. But I've already made up in my mind The god of this world has blinded the minds of those that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God. When you've seen Jesus, you've seen God. All of God should shine unto them. So then there is a God in this world who has dominion over this world. Luke chapter 4, verses 5, 6, and 7. Jesus is in the temptation, and the devil comes to him and tempts him in his eye and in his flesh and in his pride. And as he offers that temptation, in the midst of the temptation, he offers him control over the earthly dimension. Beginning in verse 5, and the devil, everybody say the devil, taking him up to a high mountain, the devil can take you some places. I'll tell you right now, the devil will take you places you didn't want to go. The devil will take you places you didn't know existed. Oh, there ought to be an amen in the house. You don't ever want to make room for the devil. You don't want to give place to the devil. You want to keep him out of your house and out of your life. You don't want to play footsie with this world. Come on, child of God. The devil takes him to a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in one moment of time. There's not a mountain on the earth wherein you can see all the kingdoms at one time. And so he took him into a realm of the spirit and showed him all the kingdoms of the world. You could stand on top of Everest and you couldn't see all the kingdoms of the world, because some of them are on the underside of the earth. And so he showed him from some vantage point in the spirit. And while you're moving there, you might as well move into the arena of, he showed him all the kingdoms of all time. Because once you move out of the spatial, you might as well move out of the chronological. And he shows him all the kingdoms of the world at one time. And says, all of these are mine. Verse 6, and the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. Now, was he lying? No, I'll save you the breath. No, he wasn't lying. Because in the garden, God gave dominion to the man. But when the man bowed his knees unto the devil, then everything the man had dominion over came under the auspices of the devil. If I conquer you and you are Poland, everything in Poland belongs to me, and I have a control over that. The devil is the god of this world. Am I reading in the book? That's right. And the devil said, I'll give you everything that you see here. I just want you to do something for me. Verse 7, if you'll worship me, all will be yours. You can have it all if you'll just worship me. Praise God. The devil is the god of this world, and every sitting government is controlled by hell. Every sitting government. They're not doing the business of the kingdom of heaven. If they were, they'd be praying in the schools. If they were, there wouldn't be abortion free down at the Planned Parenthood. Whoa! They're doing the best they can to separate church and state. But I heard where there's a lot of state-sponsored Islamic prayer going on. And they're teaching little children in elementary schools about Islam. And that PC stuff's going to come back around and bite them in the form of suicide bombers. You better know God today. I'm telling you, you better get as close to the kingdom of God as you can. We're about to engage in the wildest day this world has ever seen. And it's right now a good day to know God. But friend, you better know God. Praise God. He's in the prince of the power of the air. The king of this world, the God of this world is Satan. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2. Paul calls him the prince of the power of the air. Praise God. Now, I don't know if you just know this already and it's just dull and boring to you, or if you're just not getting on board with me and you kind of feel like this world is heading in a righteous and godly direction. I've got to tell you, shake your head and open your eyes. This world is heading down off into Sodom and Gomorrah And it's going to be amazing if God doesn't just rain down fire and brimstone here in just a little while. Praise God. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11. Everybody say, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Praise God. Your problem is not your neighbor. Your problem is not your boss. Your problem is not your husband. Your problem is not your wife. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. You better understand this. We are engaged in a spiritual conflict. And if you're not fighting, you're losing. And if you're passive, you've already lost. You better get your armor on. You better get your attitude right. You better get prayed up. Otherwise, you just belong to him with the rest of everything else that's happening here. Praise God. Praise God. Let's look at the God of this world and where he comes from and how he has come into this dimension. Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel chapter 28. And beginning with verse 11. And this is a word to the king of Tyrus, but this is a manifestation of Satan and a worldly ruler. And the language begins to move into a description of Lucifer, the son of the morning, things that an earthly king never did. And this is not just poetic language, this is prophetic language. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, verse 11 in chapter 28 of Ezekiel. Son of man, take up a lamentation against the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden. The king of Tyrus never had been in Eden, but there's somebody that was. The garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardius, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, and the gold, and the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. He was an angel of praise and worship. He was an angel of music. He was an angel of adoration unto God. Lucifer, son of the morning, was an archangel, as was Gabriel, and as is Michael. We'll praise God. Verse 14, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. I have set thee so. God made him for that purpose. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. He was a created being in the presence of God. And he was a worshiper. And he had great power and great position. And he walked among the stones of fire. And he was in the presence of God. Verse 15, you were perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. I'm telling you, there was a day when something went off in his mind and something went off in his heart, and he began to turn and he began to grow jealous against God. Well, praise God. Verse 16, by the multitude of thy merchandise have they filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore will I cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones. Jesus said, I saw him fall like the lightnings from the heaven. Verse 17, thy heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. He was a beautiful creature. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. He didn't start out as the devil, but he started out as a precious created being in the presence of God, worshiping and magnifying God. We don't know what the time frame was, but somewhere in his heart, iniquity was found, and he began his fall out of the heavens. Isaiah chapter 14 and beginning in verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend. Here he goes. This is what he said. He was so caught up in himself and in his plumage and in his royal bearing and in his brightness, and suddenly he looked over spirit God. And he said, you know, I'm going to be like him. I'm going to ascend above him. He said, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I'll sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High God. He said, I will, I will, I will, I will, I will. And if that's your mantra, and if that's your heart, and if that's all your mouth speaks, you're in trouble because you're walking in the mantra of hell. I will. You don't need to worry about your will. You need to be thinking about God's will. You need to be a servant to the brother and to the sister around you. If you're caught up in your will, you're caught up in the very spirit that caused Lucifer to fall. Well, praise God. Verse 15, yet, you can say I will all you want, friend, but yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit, and they that look upon thee, they that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake the kingdoms, that made the world a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? Praise God. His boast is, I'm going to ascend above God. His desire is that you would bow down and worship him. He couldn't overthrow God, so he's come down into the earth, and now he has rulership over the earth, and he wants men and women to bow down and to worship him. He couldn't touch God, but he touched God's favorite part of his creation. He touched the part of God's creation that God loves so much that he was willing to die for. Well, praise God. Praise God. Is this okay with you? We're going to pursue this for a little bit here. Revelation chapter 13. Now he's going to come in a day. He's going to come in the form of a man. And we know him in the biblical frame as the Antichrist. And he's going to come and try to exert rulership over all the earth. Revelation 13 and beginning with verse 4. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months, or half of the 7 years of the tribulation. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. He was kicked out of heaven, and he spends his time blaspheming God and blaspheming the heavens and blaspheming those that dwell in the heavens. And he has it made up in his mind that one day he's going to ascend into the throne of God. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints. Isn't that amazing? For all the geopolitical power in the world, he's interested in making war with you. Why he would even notice you. Praise God. Because you belong to Jesus. And he can't touch Jesus. So he wants to beat up on his kids. He can't touch Jesus, but he wants to beat up on his bride. Praise God. It was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. Power was given to him over kindreds and tongues and nations. Listen at it. Power was given to him. Who gives power? So you understand that Satan, now we don't have time to do the whole biblical construct tonight, but Satan can't move unless God says yes. Satan is a bad dog on a chain, but he can't go any further than God allows him to go. And so he was given power over nations and kindreds and tongues. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. What's he want? What did he want in the wilderness with Jesus? He wanted worship. And he's going to come as the Antichrist, and the whole world is going to worship. Oh, hold on. There's some caveat here. There's somebody that's not going to worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation. So that means there's somebody whose name is written in the book of the Lamb of life slain from the foundation of the world. And those people are not going to be found worshiping him. Woo! Praise God. Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Everybody say, get behind me, devil. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Has anybody made up your mind you're never going to worship anything or anybody but the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? And you're going to magnify him and praise him and give him all the glory. Praise God. Praise God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. This is turning out to be a little Bible study. Is all right with you? All right. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We'll stop in a minute and preach around a little bit. 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 through 4. This chapter is about the Antichrist and the coming of the Lord. Now we beseech you, brethren, 2 and 1 of 2 Thessalonians. We beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. He's talking about the coming of the Lord and the rapture, which is one event. I understand that's theologically debatable. But I have a theory that the further we get into the tribulation, the more post-tribbers we're going to have. That you be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. The coming of the Lord, our gathering to him, the day of Christ, all the same day. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day, everybody say that day, single day, the coming of the Lord, our gathering unto him, and the day of Christ, that day, it's just one day, friend. Oh, you pansy, modernist, quasi-Christian church. You think living for God's going to be like going through McDonald's and God's going to take you out of the lap of luxury. Oh, he won't pour out wrath on his people. Have you read the word? There were those that were sawn asunder. They were beheaded. They were crucified. They were crucified upside down. You believe you're better than they are? I'm telling you, you better get right with God. This is not a game. But Paul says, don't be deceived. That day won't come except there be a falling away first, and that man of sin, the Antichrist, be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. There's going to come a day when the Antichrist is going to sit on that rebuilt temple in Jerusalem, showing himself that he is God, and the whole world is going to go. Starting in verse 9. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power. Where does he get the power? He can't have power unless God gives it to him. Why would God give him power? Because he wants to see if you love God. If there wasn't a choice, there wouldn't be a demonstration of your faith. He wants to see if you love God with all your heart. We'll go to that and substantiate that in just a little bit. He's got all power, signs, and lying wonders, and all deceivableness and unrighteousness, not in everybody, just in those that are perishing, because they received not the love of the truth. If you don't love this, if you don't love this book, if you don't love this word, you're going to go with the drumbeat of the world. You're going to walk right after them. Hollywood's going to lead you off. The PC crowd's going to lead you off. Cultural relativism is going to lead you off. You think you need to appeal to this world. Friend of mine, you better appeal to God. You better preach the gospel as per the word of God. You better believe the gospel as per the word of God. You better get yourself buried up. Hook, line, and sinker in this word of God. With all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they never developed a love for the truth, that they might be saved. Verse 11, and for this cause, the devil's going to give them a strong delusion. The devil's going to give them a delusion. Who said God? Oh, God loves everybody. And God's sweet to everybody. And God wouldn't delude anybody. God's just a big old fat Santa Claus. No, they don't love the truth. God's going to give them over to a strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they might all be damned who didn't love the truth. Praise God. The God of this world is ensconced in power. Right now. And his minions are the gods of this world. Praise God. Luke 4:8, Jesus said, but I'm not going to worship you. Get behind me. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Is that your heartbeat tonight? I'm going to serve God and worship God. I'm not going to go off after the marching, after the thundering, after the worship of this world. Revelation chapter 12, beginning in verse 9, the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, the devil and Satan. Are you there? How many devils are there? Well, wait a minute. There's the dragon, the serpent, the devil, and Satan. It's a quartet. It's the quadruple entity. All hail the quadruple entity. There's four of them. Four persons in the devilhood. Because he's got four titles or he's got four names. Now, you know there's only one devil. Praise God. And in your heart of hearts, you know there's only one God. And he's Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, the Lion and the Lamb, the creator of all things. He is the Son. He is the Christ. He is the creator. He is the Holy Ghost. He is the Word of God. But he's only one. Don't know why folks have a problem with that. Satan, which deceived the whole world, and he was cast out of the earth and his angels were cast out with him. Those now are the gods of the world. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation, strength, kingdom of our God, power of Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Praise God. And here's the profile of the saints of the living God. Everybody say, they overcame him. Let's just start right there. They overcame him. Well, praise God. Now, I know not everybody's going to overcome him, but the Word of God says somebody's going to overcome him. Well, I've just got to stake my claim tonight. I'm going to be one of those. You worship him if you want to. You go after him if you want to. You edit the Word of God if you want to. You tear out half the pages of the Word of God if you want to. You vote and say in your council that it's illegal to talk in tongues if you want to. You ordain homosexuals if you want to. But we're going to believe the Word of God and we're going to overcome. Well, praise God. Everybody say they overcame him. And here's how they overcame him. By the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. You got to tell this. Give somebody a high five and tell them I love God with all my heart. I'm not going to serve any other gods. I'm going to serve the one true and living God. Praise God. By their testimony. You got a testimony tonight? Come on. Tell somebody by you. I was in a deep pit. I cried unto the Lord. He heard my cry. He lifted me up. He set my feet on a solid rock. And he put a song in my mouth. Even praise unto my God. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb. By the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. The only thing that matters is that we are right with God. Revelation 20:4. I saw thrones and they sat upon them and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded. Now watch the criteria for getting your head cut off here. For the witness of Jesus. These are not Jews and they're not sinners. Unless they're converted Jews into Christianity. For the witness of Jesus. For the word of God. They didn't worship the beast, so they're there during the time of the Antichrist. Neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. They said, nope, I'm going to cut your head off, boy. It's all right, take it. There's no hair left on it anyway, take it. It's all wrinkled up, messed up. I'm going to get a new one anyway. Take it. You can take it. I'm going to talk in tongues till my head hits the basket. Take it. I've got a promise. I'm going to live forever. My God, when they come after you and want you to take the mark, the word of God is screaming at you. At that moment, it doesn't matter what anybody does to you. Word of God happening all around you. Praise God. Friend of mine, this criteria fits nobody but the church. You're going to get it. You live long enough, you're going to get a chance to express your faith, to demonstrate your faith in a system that is worldwide and that requires praise and worship for the gods of this world. But back to our text tonight, and the text declares, before the gods of this world will I praise thee. If you love him tonight, lift up your hands and just tell him that. Before the gods of this world, I will praise you. Mighty God, I'm not going to praise rock stars and country western stars and football stars and sports stars. I'm going to worship you. Before the gods of this world, I'm going to give you praise. Well, praise God. Well, praise God. The world's worshiping everything else, but it's a day. I'll tell you, they want to clap their hands to politicians and football stars, but when you come to the house of God, they want you to sit on your hands. They want to lift their voice at the soccer stadium and in all types of arenas of worldly amusement, but when you come to the house of God, they want you to shut your mouth. They want you to give praise and adoration to Hollywood stars and to rock stars and to musical stars and all kinds of man-made idols. But when you come to the house of God, they want you to be quiet. They call it reverence. But I'm with the psalmist tonight. Before the gods, I will praise you. With them looking on, I'm going to praise you. When they come to entice, I'm going to praise you. When they come to tempt, I'm going to praise you. When they come to steal and kill and destroy, I'm going to praise you. When they come to tell me there's no hope, I'm going to praise you. When the spirit of depression comes, I'm going to praise you. Give your neighbor a high five and tell him before the gods of this world, I'm going to praise him. As Daniel stood in Babylon and wouldn't partake, they said, Daniel, if you open those shutters and you pray to your God of Israel, we're going to cast you into a den of hungry lions. He said, open up the lion's den. I'm opening up my windows. He went right on and prayed the prayers of the God of Israel before the gods of Babylon. He said, I serve the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Everybody in Babylon bowed down in the plains of Dura before the golden image. But those three young men stood like mighty oak trees, and they wouldn't bow, even though they knew they'd be cast into a fiery furnace before the gods of Babylon. Praise God. I've made up my mind, before the gods, I will praise you. Before the gods, I will praise you. Not giving my praise to anybody else. Not giving the worship to anybody else. I'm not going to worship anything else. There's nothing else in this world that has the power to redeem me from my sins. There's nobody else in this world got the power to write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. There's nobody else in this world got the power to raise me up on that great getting up morning. God is worthy of all my praise. Clap your hands unto him. Somebody shout a little bit. Praise God. Praise God. Now I want you to know, this is something that takes some proactivity and some cognitive effort on your part. But I want you to understand that the battle is already won. Praise God. If you're in a struggle right now, I want you to know it's already been won. If you're in a spiritual battle right now, I want you to know God's already done everything he's going to do to preserve the outcome for you. That's going to be in your best interest. It's already done. The provision's already been made. The enemy's already been defeated. Colossians 2 and 15. Everybody say he spoiled principalities and powers. And he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. The analogy that Paul is using is the analogy of the warring nations in that time around the Roman and the Grecian era. And when they would come in and when they would obtain a victory over a standing army or over a city, they would take the general of that city, or they would take the officials of that city, and they would tie a rope around their neck and strip them of all of their medals and all of their garments that indicated they had power at all. And they would bring them out into the square and lay them down. Lay down on your tummy. And they would put their heel on his neck to the acclaim of all those around. And they demonstrated in a theatrical way that they had won the victory over that city state or over that kingdom or over that army. I want you to know that's exactly what Jesus did when he died on the cross. He took the devil and he led him out into the middle of the square. And he put his heel on his head. You say, well, how do you know he did that? Well, the word of God said he overcame principalities and powers. But the oldest messianic prophecy in the Bible tells me that the seed of the woman would one day put his heel on the head of the seed of the serpent and bruise his head while receiving a bruise to his heel. Praise God. Praise God. He doesn't know it. You see, he's a reprobate. He gets up in the morning confident that he can take you down. But it's over. He's already whipped. I've already won. And the battle's already taken. All I've got to do is walk through this and make the right decisions. That's all. Because the outcome's already decided. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. He said, brethren, later we'll be the sons of God. Oh, theologian in the maze. He said, brothers, now are we the sons of God. And it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Everybody say, now are we the sons of God. My God, I've already been down in the water. I've already been covered by the blood. I've already been filled with his spirit. Now, somebody say, now. I've got my salvation now. I am a son of God right now. I am a child of the kingdom right now. Come on, you need to get on the winning side of that. You need to know it. You need to walk like it. Praise God. Praise God. Well, Lindsay, come give us a hope. Ephesians 3. I don't know if we've ever read this many scriptures in a Sunday night service the whole 20 years we've been doing this. Ephesians chapter 3, beginning in verse 9. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Everyone say, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. To work this backwards, the wisdom of God. No, I need more like, yeah. Because this is a victorious message. I need some victorious help here. And when she does that, you got to go, doo, doo. No, no, up in here. Dun, dun. Brass, yeah, yeah, brass. They can't hear the brass. Give us some. Come on. Okay, I'm beginning to feel victorious. Praise God. Everybody say the wisdom of God demonstrated by the church to principalities and powers in heavenly places. You understand, we worked it backward. It is to the intent now that unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. He said, you got something to show the devil. He said, I'm going to show the devil something by the praises of my people. The psalmist knew it intuitively and prophesied. He said, I'm going to praise you before the gods. He said, before the gods, I will praise you. All those little gods clamoring for praise. No, no, I can't praise you. I'm too busy praising him. I can't praise you, Hollywood. I'm too busy praising him. I can't praise you, NBA. I'm too busy praising him. I can't praise you, NFL. I'm too busy praising him. I can't praise the New York Yankees. I can't praise the New York Mets. I can't praise the baseball stars. I'm too busy praising him. I can't praise Coach Saban and the Alabama Crimson Tide. I don't care who they play. I don't care if they win or lose. I can't praise them. I'm too busy praising him. I can't praise the Auburn Tigers. I don't care what Tommy does or Tommy says. I'm too busy praising him. Oh, you got to get this. Before the gods, I will praise thee, oh God. Well, praise God. How do you identify the gods of our age? Well, it's simple. It's what people worship. People worship money, but we're praising him. People worship material things, but we're praising him. People worship sports stars, but we're praising him. Music stars, but we're praising him. Hollywood stars, but we're... Before the gods, I'm gonna praise him. And this is the plan of God, to the intent that unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be by the church made known the manifold wisdom of God. They are looking on and they're saying, we've got them where we want them. They love money. They love fame. They love the glitz. They love the glitter. All we got to do is just reel them in like a big bass. Well, wait a minute. Something's wrong with this one. I can't get him on my line. I can't get him to shut up with all that praise and worship. I can't get him to calm down. I can't get him to be depressed. I can't get him to lose his joy. I can't get him to lose his hope. You know what God's telling the devil? God's saying, Lucifer, son of the morning, who walked among the stones of fire in the presence of God, you were perfect. And you wouldn't worship me in a perfect perfect world, you wouldn't worship me in the perfection of heaven. Well, I'm about to show you something, because I've got some babies down on the earth. I've got some children down in the middle of all that confusion. And they don't live in a perfect world. They live in a world full of hurt and broken hearts and pain and betrayal and trouble and oppression. And you're bothering them, and the devil's bothering them, and the world's bothering them. But they get together in the house of God, and they're not worried about the trouble, but they're praising and they're magnifying God. Come on, just for a minute. I want somebody to show the devil how it's done. Just for a minute. I want you to show the devil how it's done. With a perfect life to sit down. And I want everybody with no trouble to sit down. And I want everybody that doesn't have any problems to sit down. And I want everybody that's got it made and there's no trouble in your life, I want you to sit down. All right. Now the rest of you with trouble and problems and difficulties and pressures and stress, you go ahead, show the devil how it's done. The Holy Ghost. You've never received the Holy Ghost, evidenced by speaking in other tongues. I want you to come right now. God will fill you with the Holy Ghost right now. God will give you the Holy Ghost right now. Come on. In this atmosphere, God will fill you up. You'll talk in tongues, a language that you never learned in school. That's over 50, that's got a few little cricks and kinks in your body, and you're in touch with your mortality, I want you to get out in the aisle, and I want you to begin to praise and worship God. Tell the devil, nah, 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 nah. I'm gonna get a new body. I'm gonna get a new body. I'm gonna get a new body. Yeah! All right. Anybody that's got a broken heart, anybody that's had life just rise up and cut you deep and you're still bleeding right now. Come on, I want you to get out in the aisle. Sing. Na 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 na. Come on, show the devil. I might have a broken heart, but I know who the heart mender is. Come on, before the gods of this world, before the gods, I'll praise him. Before the gods, I'll praise him.
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 Come on and praise him.
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 Praise God. Come here. Your mom and dad backslid. The church you grew up in fell apart. Everything that was shown to you to demonstrate how to live for God crumbled and split up in 200 different directions. So you just sit down over here. You got a reason to mourn, and you got a reason to mope, and you got a reason to sit down and suck your thumb. And no, before the gods, I'll praise him. Before the gods, I'll praise him. Come on,
I want to
show the devil how to praise God.
Praise him.
Come on and praise him.
Praise him.
Come on, take somebody by the hand.
Praise him.
Praise him.
Praise him.
Praise him.
Praise him.
Praise him.
Sister Angela, what are you doing? Wait a minute. I can't catch her. Sister Angela, you got two sons in the penitentiary. Your heart's been broken in 100 pieces. The devil's telling you there's no hope. You need to sit down. You don't. What are you doing? What are you doing? I'm going to praise him.
Praise him.
Praise him.
Praise him. Praise him. Show
the devil how
it's done.
Praise him.
Praise him.
Praise him.
Praise him.
Praise him.
Praise him.
You apparently don't understand this. There's a chair right over here for you. You see, your wife left you, divorced you, and you just need to sit down. And if anybody's got a reason to mope and mourn, it's somebody whose wife left him. No, this is an opportunity to praise God before the gods of this world.
Yeah! You want to praise him,
praise him,
praise him,
praise him,
praise him.
Praise him.
Praise him.
Praise him.
All right.
Praise him.
Now, right now, we're about to do some work. I want you to take that problem that's been bothering you. I want you to take that thing that's been assaulting your heart. And I want you to step out in the aisle right now. And I want you to say, devil, you hit me. You might have knocked me down. But I want you to understand, I serve a God who's a restoring God. And I've got a reason and a right to praise God. I want you to dance. I want you to shout. I want you to scream. I want you to show the gods of this world that the joy of the Lord is my strength.
Praise him.
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 You can't have my joy.
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 You can't touch my joy.
You can't touch my joy.
You can't have my shout.
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 You can't touch my shout.
You can't touch my shout.
Listen, all these kids, the mama's in the church, daddy's in the church, they got natural family all around them in the church, and you're just a little urchin off the street, no mama here, no cohesive family structure. Now, I know why they're happy because they got it all together, but you're just a little waif. You're a little orphan Annie. And so we don't... Here's a chair for you right here. You can just sit down. You don't have to praise him. Nobody's going to fault you if you don't praise him. Nobody's going to blame you if you don't praise him.
Yeah! Yeah!
You can't touch my jaw.
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 Holy Ghost in jaw.
Holy Ghost jaw.
You can't have my jaw.
You can't have my jaw.
Well, we can do this all night. But everybody's got a story. And everybody's got a broken heart. And everybody's got a wound. And everybody's got a bitter chapter in their past. And if you want to be a muggly wump and sit on a stump and suck your thumb, nobody could fault you. I want you to lay your hand on your neighbor and tell him, but I'm going to praise him before the gods. Praise God. Now, Brother Jimmy, now we're off in deep water here. You got big problems. Come on over here and stand by Brother Jimmy. Now, Brother Jimmy, we're not going to bug you. All this shouting and running and screaming and praising, that's for folks that hadn't suffered like you suffered, that hadn't been through what you've been through. Nobody in the world could blame you if you're angry and you're hurt and you're bitter, and nobody could fault you for that. Praise God.
God is awesome.
Yeah.
You know, I have no problems, I'm telling you. If God done what he's done for us, none of us had no problems. I just praise God.
I don't know if you heard that or if you saw that, but Brother Jimmy just blew a hole in the devil's battleship.
Yeah!
Brother Jimmy just cleared out half the demons in Birmingham. Dancing. some room. Come on, come up a little bit. Dance before the gods. Shout before the gods. Sing before the gods. Shout before the gods. Dirty stinking gods. Little puny gods. Emaciated, pathetic gods.